Brad and Brit, Brad and Brit, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Brit.
It is the Brad and Brit cast. We're glad you're with us here. We're live in the 1:30 Eastern hour. And this is the last Brad and Brit cast for now. So long, but we'll see you soon after I get healed up and get myself a brand spanking new immunity system via a stem cell bone marrow transplant from a wrestler from parts unknown wearing a mask.
I see.
Who's the donor? I don't know who it is. It's someone, it's a male in the United States. That's all I know.
And Plowboy Frazier. That's who you got it from.
And, I start the proceedings on Tuesday, and I will be back home approximately 40 days after that. But that does not preclude, depending on my condition, the ability to do this exact Brad and Brit cast from that location in Winston-Salem over there. We'll see. If I feel up to it, yeah, I will do it. If not, of course, I'll have my regular substitute, Joan Rivers, will sit in.
She's so disloyal. A disloyal person. Yeah,
in fact, I'm afraid if we do that, she'll go get her own podcast and compete against us. What will we do?
When Johnny was having his little troubles with NBC at that contract thing in 79 or 80, they went over to Joan's house and met the president of ABC to kind of surreptitiously negotiate. That's where they went to talk about stuff.
I can't respect that. I just can't respect that.
Which part of it? Which part of it can you not respect?
I don't know. All right. I got a list here. The final list for now. Ready?
Ready.
A bridge too far out theory. Black swan alert. Don still wants to run the show at NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama Crimson Tide gets a little bluer today. And WBT bullshit connected to Fox bullshit.
Go ahead and do that. Okay. Do that last one first, because it's it has made national news.
It's just pathetic.
Let me read you the last radio station that we worked for.
Yeah, we worked for WBT. So we know the players involved here. These are things we promise not to talk about, but we're going to talk about them. We never promised not to talk about them.
Who did we promise not to talk to this?
Nobody.
I never made a promise to anybody about that shit.
All right. So here's how Fox plays this. Now, remember what their angle is always going to be. It's always going to be to make Joe Biden or a Joe Biden surrogate or a Joe Biden spokesman or a Democrat or someone who doesn't suck Donald Trump's dick look bad in any story to reposition the facts and lie. So here's the headline. Radio host shocked by Karine Jean-Pierre abruptly ending interview, I don't understand the fragility, which is the host saying, I don't understand the fragility. Then subheadline. White House press secretary spoke to a local North Carolina station ahead of President Biden's visit.
Biden and Kamala Harris were in Raleigh yesterday.
Yeah.
For a rally. I think Governor Cooper was there, and they were mostly talking about health care, talking about Obamacare and expanding Medicare.
Karine Jean-Pierre ended an interview with a local North Carolina radio station on Tuesday rather suddenly, to the surprise of the reporter and host. The White House press secretary spoke to 99.3 WBT Charlotte news director Mark Garrison. Would you like to explain the ignorance of calling it 99.3 WBT Charlotte news?
It would be like calling it, 98.1 WSB in Atlanta. Would be very, very similar to that. WBT has always been on a massive AM signal at 1110 AM, but only for like 102 years now. The 99.3 is a small how many watts is that? Like 10,000, maybe 8,000.
The listenership is about 80-85% to 10 or 15% the AM or the FM. It's not like that across the country, but that's because, as you mentioned, that 99.3 signal is a piece of shit out of Chester, South Carolina, that cannot be heard in most of Charlotte.
Correct. But that's, you know, that's about par for the course.
Again, Britt, we're really getting granular here, but you have to because it's Fox.
We're howling at the moon. But that, I think they're just running. I think that version of the story ran pretty much everywhere, though, as far as
wait,
that.
Britt, the first version I saw did not mention the station at all. It just said a North Carolina station. So I guess we can call this a slight improvement. Anyway, we know Mark Garrison. Mark was a newsman for a long time, and he was one of these guys that just was dying to get on to be doing talk radio.
This is where I didn't see him as like a stark raving mad right wing human.
You don't have to be that way to play the game on right wing radio these days. You can just kind of go along to get along and create situations like this. Garrison spoke. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is not his show. He was on the Brett Winterbull show, which is the afternoon show 3 to 6, the time slot we used to be in, about the experience where clips of the interview were played. So afterwards, they made hay with this forever. Like, this is the biggest outrage in the history of broadcasting. At one point, Garrison questioned whether Joe Biden has dementia, stating that, quote, a number of people he told about the interview requested that he ask her that. So a number of people.
Look at the way that he's phrasing. He's such a pussy about it. He's not even going, I just have to ask you this question. Does Joe Biden? No, he's going, I just had all of these people and I was forced to do it because these people pinned me down on the sidewalk as I was going to work and they slapped me around and said, if you don't fucking ask Karina, if you don't ask her this story about Joe Biden having a dementia, we're going to beat the shit out of you. That's basically how he's phrasing it. That's the pussy way that he's phrasing this.
Well, I think he made a mistake, but he should have just gone with the more time-tested, people are saying that Joe Biden has dementia. They're saying that. What do you say?
If you just had balls, just go ahead and, I mean, just say, hey, just a question to kind of get this out of the way so we can clear this up for America. Does President Biden have dementia?
See, if he had balls, he would say, which of these two men do you believe has a more serious U.S. threatening case of dementia, assuming that they both, you know, that's what I would do. That if I had someone from the White House or someone represent, that's how I put. Anyway, Jean-Pierre called the question, quote, incredibly offensive and called out Garrison for taking us down this rabbit hole. And that's the whole of the story on Fox. So what does it sound like? Sounds like she wussied out and ran for the hills when the question was put to her. Well, okay. Nice try. There is another version of this, which at this moment I actually cannot call up because I just got blocked here, but I will tell you what the actual event was. He asked the question and she deflected, didn't want to answer it because she said it was a bad question, and then went on to talk about all of Joe Biden's accomplishments for about another 2 full minutes, and then said, thanks for your time, I've got to go. You had your 6 or 7 minute window, which, Britt, as you know, that is very typical. When someone like a president comes through, they send the press secretary to hit as many radio stations as possible. This wasn't supposed to be a half hour or 45 minute interview with the press secretary, the president of the United States. So back on WBT, they mischaracterize it and make it sound like she went crying in the corner after that and hung up. And they dressed it up by putting a dial tone on the end of the call that did not exist, because WBT, apparently, I believe this is correct, when you hang up on a caller, there's no dial tone that comes up on any talk radio station, right? So they've milked this for all they can. It's a disgrace. It's a pathetic. It's just radio at its worst.
I'll do you one more. Well, they finally got it. Okay, they've got sort of that under the Vince Coakley part of their website, that Mark Garrison goes national and renting cheaper than owning is what the name of the headline is. If you do this at WBT and you've made national news, you splash the fuck out of this on your website, right? When you go, that's the first thing. Here's the story. Here's the audio. And damn, aren't we awesome. And look at us for beating the shit out of this woman. And we hate Joe Biden. That's what you would do. They haven't even capitalized on it that way. Oh, but he's got, oh, wait a minute. Mark Garrison reports the dial tone heard around the country.
Yeah. See, That's fake news. That's fake journalism. That's fake everything to cater to the worst instincts of your audience. All right. It's a right-wing sewer, Britt. I said it 10 years ago when we got fired.
It's gotten worse.
It's just gotten worse because guys who were kind of, you know, playing it down the middle when we were there, they're still around. And how do you stay around? You play the game.
Well, there's very few guys that are playing it down the middle anymore. Not even that many who are trying to fake it by playing it down the middle.
Yeah.
That just doesn't work.
Yeah, you didn't beat her up badly enough, Mark.
Yeah.
You let her get away with so much.
You really exposed. They really have like a super hard on for her.
Wonder why, Britt? What about her makes her
can't put my finger on a particular
target?
Can't put my finger on it. I mean, she's everything that they. Not only is she black, not only is she female, she's also gay. So that's like checks all the boxes for them.
And by the way, she's Haitian American.
Oh, it's over.
Even better.
It's over. Forget it. I mean, she is truly everything they hate. She's like a woke smorgasbord for them, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she'll be on Meet the Press this week.
What did you call? What was the one you resurrected? Press the Meat.
Not Meet the Press. Press the Meat.
I hadn't heard that one in a while. That's good.
Yeah.
Do Sweet Home Alabama, where it's turning a little bit blue. Ooh, ooh.
All right. Here you go. We have a woman named Marilyn Lands, L-A-N-D-S. She's an Alabama Democrat, campaigned aggressively on abortion access. They had a special election in Alabama on Tuesday in the state legislature, and she won big. And this was in a competitive race. Somehow, there actually are a few left. Every once in a while, they pop up. This includes parts of Huntsville, Alabama. She's a mental health.
What? Is this like a piece of Alabama they forgot to gerrymander? Oh,
yes. Someone needs to be accountable for that mistake.
Damn it! Jim, you were in charge of that.
She's a mental health professional who centered her bid on reproductive rights and criticized Alabama's near total abortion ban, along with the recent state Supreme Court ruling that temporarily banned in vitro fertilization until the legislature, led by Grandma Moses, who is their governor, said, ho, we fucked up this time.
Grandma,
we fucked up this time. We got a judge in there making us look bad.
But then they've written a new law to protect IVF, but it doesn't really, and it kind of fucks things up, and they probably shouldn't have gotten involved in the first place.
But Miss Lands, the winner, said, today Alabama women and families sent a clear message that's going to be heard in Montgomery and across the nation. Our legislature has to appeal the no exceptions abortion ban of Alabama, fully restore access to IVF and protect the right to contraception. How radical, Britt. Can you believe it?
She is so woke. Whoa. Oh my God. She's off the charts.
Her opponent was some guy in the city council named Teddy Powell. He focused his campaign on economic development and infrastructure. Yeah. Yeah. That's what they care about in Alabama.
So they should care about, but you know, it's not that sexy.
It doesn't win you
no
an election in America right now.
I'm going to have, this is what you do when you're running against somebody like this woman I characterized comically as being ultra woke and off the charts. Your platform is I'm going to have "In God We Trust" tattooed on every child in every maternity ward in Huntsville. I mean, that's all you got to do. And then you win the election by 30 points. Yeah, that's all you got to do.
I think they may have thought of that and thought, I don't think that's a winning
that's
idea.
That's a little tough. That's a little hardcore. So what exactly does this mean? Because I think it's really good news. I think there's no question this is really good news.
It's good news because it keeps the streak up.
Yeah.
It makes it more and more difficult for Republican politicians, no matter where they're running and what they're running for, to be able to think that what the Supreme Court unleashed due to Donald Trump gerrymandering the Supreme Court, it's continued. It's continued since that ruling in 2022 through special elections for judges, the one up in Wisconsin, special legislative races like this one, and the one on Long Island to run in the seat that was ripped away from George Santos. All of the referenda across the country in states that you would not think would be sympathetic, boiling it down to its most simplistic, to abortions. But that, of course, isn't what this is really all about for anybody who has the most rudimentary understanding. And women tend to have a better than rudimentary understanding of what's at stake for their own bodies and their own pregnancies and their own rights than men do.
Yeah. That's generally a true statement. And I think this is similar to me to the North Carolina victory over Michigan State last weekend. Like, it was a convincing win over a good team that's got a national championship coach. It does not mean that North Carolina is going to automatically stroll in and win the national championship. Doesn't mean that, but it's good news. It's a good sign. It's very good news, and you cannot just throw it off and go, well, this. I think there are probably professional Republican pollsters, politicians, conciliaries, consultants. I think they're probably shitting their pants today.
We'll get to that in a moment. In fact, I've ordered some Depends to send to all 50 state houses and to the Congress over this. But you also remember you had a referendum in Kentucky, Ohio,
yeah,
Kansas,
Iowa was another one.
No, they didn't have a referendum.
Well, they had an election that was very positive toward Democrats that were running on
it. So, look, there hasn't been one loss.
Yeah,
for freedom of choice and for the Democratic candidate who represents that, or in the case of a referendum, taking the side of the pro-choice Democratic view. It's won every time, and we're coming up on almost 2 years since Dobbs, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, the thing is also when you hear that and you go, you can't just make that your platform.
Well, you know what? You can put it in the top spot because
front and center.
It wins elections.
It's
if it can
there.
Win an election in fucking Alabama,
no,
it
you can
win it in North Carolina. It can
no
win it in Ohio
it.
And,
no.
and everywhere in between.
There's no question about it, particularly when you put it the way that you put it about women in general. And we've said this for, God, election cycles going back 30 years. When we first heard the term soccer moms, I believe that was a Clinton construct, correct?
Yeah.
It's going to be in a lot of these swing states like ours, it's going to be suburban women. Suburban women are going to decide the election, not only in our swing state, but also probably Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Ohio and all the other ones that we've talked about. And this issue works. This issue does help Democrats out in those places and everywhere else. So you have to have other stuff, but this can be an entree. Make sure you have some good side dishes, but this can absolutely 100% be your entree.
Mm. Well, that brings us home to North Carolina and Thomas Edsel, who writes a column every week in the New York Times. And it's about five times longer than a typical Keith Olbermann podcast. Okay. It goes on and on and on and on. Why does it do that? Because it presents evidence and more evidence about a subject, and it's fascinating. And just so happens today, it's titled "One Purple State is Testing the Outer Limits of MAGAism," and it's all about us. And it starts off by saying that back on primary day, because of who was picked to be these Republican nominees for statewide office, and the big three, of course, are Mark Robinson for governor, that Morrow woman, Michelle Morrow, for state superintendent of schools, and Dan Bishop, a completely in-the-tank, asshole Republican state legislator who made it to Congress for a couple of terms, but he was the father of the bathroom bill. Okay. Oh, yeah. He was that guy. All right. So those are your three people. You've got Mark Robinson, the anti-Semitic, misogynistic, crazy, beyond redemption fool.
Right.
Who wants to turn the United States into some kind of theocratic state of insanity.
Yeah.
You have Dan Bishop, the bathroom bill guy, enough said.
He's running for attorney general against Jeff Jackson. And that's a very, very important race. Jeff Jackson would be ostensibly in the on-deck circle for governor if things go in the cycle they have in North Carolina. And Jeff Jackson is a very good candidate for the Democratic Party.
And then we have this Michelle Morrow, and she's a homeschooling Christian mom who hates public schools, who wants to be the head of schools in this state. And she brings along with her, this is wonderful, she's already got her hit list of people who need to be assassinated, and it includes Roy Cooper, Barack Obama.
Yeah, she's been trying to kill Barack Obama for a while now.
Yeah. Because, and by the way, I thought when you did that, you get a visit from the FBI just by definition.
So Secret Service, somebody, they knock on the door and go, "Hey, what the fuck is up? How are you?"
Other people on her list, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo.
Oh.
You still want to kill him?
I don't think he's that important. Why don't we just yank out his nipple piercings?
Ilhan Omar, the representative. Hillary Clinton, Senator Chuck Schumer,
AOC?
Dr. Fauci, Bill Gates, and President Biden. So you can tell the fact that Fauci is still on there. I mean, she said this a few years ago. So
this is like
you didn't count, right?
This is like a Nixon's enemies list. You got to update this thing, honey. Where's AOC? AOC needs to be on your list. Come on. Doesn't Elizabeth Warren need to be on this list? Come on.
Well, Elizabeth Warren's kind of over the hill, too, in terms of being on a hit list.
Good Lord. It feels like the episode of Seinfeld where they were talking about, "You think a terrorist wouldn't come after me?" It was one of those.
The North Carolina Republican Party, therefore, is at one level in free fall, because Republicans who get elected in this state, statewide, that means for Senate, or for governor, and the last one to get elected was Pat McCrory. And when he won, he ran as a not crazy person. There was no Donald Trump on the scene when he won the first time. The second time, well, you saw what happened. He went nuts.
Well, he had a record to run on, and it wasn't that great.
Right, but and he also had Trumpism Yes. Protecting him there, too.
He also was not governing in the way when he was governor that he had governed when he was mayor of Charlotte.
Well, you can't. It's a different job.
Not that. It's not that at all. He was nuts. He started playing all the Fox News cards. He started doing all the Tea Party shit.
When you're mayor of Charlotte, Charlotte is a blue city.
Very much so.
If you're a Republican and you're governing a blue city, you learn how to get along. When you become the governor, suddenly you feel like you're Superman, and you can appeal to, quote, your base and think that that's going to carry the day for you. And
Superman got one term.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he got.
But since Jesse Helms went tits up about 22, 23 years ago, I think he died in 02.
Good times.
Right. Republicans who win don't go over the cliff. It's just that's the way it's been. So now you have three nuts running for the three most prominent positions along with Trump. So if this is played correctly, these three bad candidates, Bishop and Morrow and Mark Robinson, will drag down Trump. And here's why. Because statewide, the Republican Party can't stoke turnout among people who aren't fully MAGA, although the argument is, well, the whole party is MAGAfied in North Carolina. Well, no, it's not. It's not. So you're going to get some people who just throw their hands up in the air and say, I'm not showing up. And, you know, the last time out in 2020, you know, Roy Cooper got a couple of points more of votes than Donald Trump did. How did that happen? Think about that. That means
they had to split the ticket.
Right. And, you know, ticket splitting doesn't exist anymore, right? Well, it kind of does. Well, and that's the Republicans' fault that it's more easily done now, because I think they're the ones that made sure that you couldn't just walk in with a straight ticket and push a button. And
this was part of the Republican efforts to help out with the integrity of elections, was to make sure that we can't vote a straight ticket. I don't know how that helps out with the integrity of elections, but they decided that was going to happen.
Well, because everything that they say is about voter integrity is about voter suppression, voter confusion.
The fact of the matter has remained, as far as the governor's mansion, we've had one Republican governor this century, and I want to say two last century. I believe Holzhauser and Martin was it, certainly in my lifetime.
Right. But except for Obama once.
That's it. That's correct. And maybe Jimmy Carter in 76. And
Jimmy Carter, those are the only two times North Carolina voted Democratic for president. So that's, I mean, in one sense, you can say, well, it's a schizophrenic state. On the other hand, you can say, look, at least somebody's thinking a little bit when they go in there and they say, well, I'm not going to just vote for the party. I'm going to vote for whoever I think is the best person. I don't think that augurs well for a guy who's campaigning as a crazy person. That could apply to Robinson. It could apply to Ms. Morrow, the superintendent of schools person. But damn Bishop. And it can apply, of course, to
the
Trump.
Fact of the matter is this trio of terror that you've just talked about, either as one of them, two of them, or three of them, if they're elected, could influence us a lot more, a lot greater than Jesse Helms did in all of his years in the United States Senate.
Sure.
They're going to be able to have control, which is kind of frightening, very frightening, because there is no plan among these people for doing anything except just ripping up the paper and starting the fire. Right. I would like to expound a little bit on what I was talking about with Mark Robinson yesterday. I do feel at some point in time, it will become attractive, at least to him, if not somewhat effective from his point of view, to start throwing the anti-Semitic tropes toward Josh Stein. But Mark has to walk a very, very thin line when it comes to that, because he does not want to be seen as pro-Palestinian, because pro-Palestinian equals woke in Mark Robinson world. So if you are pro-Palestinian, you are Ilhan Omar, you are AOC, you are that wing. So you have to stay away from that. But I feel like in order to mobilize his troops, he can do this either subtly or not subtly. I don't know if Mark does anything subtly, We know that certainly anti-Semitism comes very easily to him, and he'll grab it at a moment's notice. So just watch for that as we go on throughout the summer. If Josh Stein continues to lead this race and possibly opens up a 3-4, even a 5, please God, let it be so point lead over Mark Robinson. I think that's when you start throwing out the anti-Semitism, and I fear how that's going to play in North Carolina. I cannot predict that.
I don't think that's a winning strategy. It hasn't been employed anywhere else.
Yeah, Mark's special.
I know he's special.
Here's the thing. You don't have a lot of people in North Carolina who are willing to speak out about hating the Jews. Or I'll just point this out to you because I did the math on this one. Jews will not replace us. Charlottesville is 180 miles from where you sit right now. It's not that far. It's really not that far. There aren't a lot of people in North Carolina who are willing to talk about how they despise Jews, at least publicly, loudly, talk about how Jews do this, Jews do that, blah, blah, blah. The way that I've presented it to you before is there are a number of very polite Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian North Carolinians who will go, yeah, I'm just afraid if we elect a Jewish governor, that's going to make us a target for terrorism. That's the kind of thing that people would say behind closed doors.
You're going full conspiracy theory on that one, my friend.
Conspiracy theory or full reality. Not knowing that the actual terrorists are the guys in the MAGA hats down at the general store.
That would be the bridge too far.
Just watch for that as we go throughout the summer, because Mark, again, will shoot off every firework that he possibly can, going after every group possible. And for a lot of people right now, the anti-Semitic stuff, that's a hit record. That's playing real well right now. You have made this point, other people, that the Hamas-Israel war could end up costing Joe Biden this election. It's possible. Well,
since Donald Trump is certainly willing to dip his toes into those waters, since he has pronounced that any Jew who votes Democratic hates Israel.
Right.
The idea, and as you bring it up, it just sounds worse. It just sounds worse and worse and worse, like Homer Simpson. but I can almost conjure up a Donald Trump, Mark Robinson anti-Semitic trope.
Yeah.
Pact.
Yeah.
But of course, they will deny from here to beyond the moon, and that you're the one that hates Israel. You're the anti-Semite for even bringing up that possibility, because Mark Robinson will say, "Well, I had a Jewish neighbor, and he used to invite us over for Passover every year." Some bullshit story like that. He'll make it up, and Trump will, of course, talk about his Jewish grandchildren.
If there is a Jewish neighbor that invited Mark Robinson over for Passover, you blew it.
Well, first of all, you had to make twice as much food that year. And to watch Mark Robinson just dive into the macaroons. Ugh. All right. So Edsel points out that the racial divide has turned North Carolina politics into a battle between overwhelmingly white rural counties and increasingly diverse urban centers like Raleigh-Durham, Charlotte, and Greensboro, Winston-Salem. Urban and suburban population growth has given the Democrats some advantage, but there's been a large and expanding difference in black and white turnout rates. Mm-hmm. There are so many countervailing forces in this state. He does point out, and this goes back to what I was saying a minute ago, that the Republican Party is so split. They really are. The Democratic Party is not split. We're all in with Roy Cooper and Josh Stein. Yeah, they don't have any points of view on things that split Democratic voters and would cause us to sit home. But he points out that in February 21, the North Carolina Republican Party censured Richard Burr because he dared to vote to convict Trump in a second impeachment trial.
Well, that meant nothing because Richard Burr was leaving office anyway.
But it doesn't matter. Yeah, they still bothered to censure him.
Correct.
Then, because if they didn't, then they would admit that Richard Burr, even though he was leaving office, at least he still did the right thing. Right. And then last year, they censured Tom Tillis because he supported gay rights, some moderate immigration initiatives, and some gun violence policies. So they're a fringe party in one sense, and they're running a fringe candidate who, as you have pointed out many times, is traditionally the wrong race for Republicans to support in the broadest sense of the word.
You do have, I think, well, there's a lot of stuff that you said there to unpack, particularly the African-American turnout. Like most places, the African-American population in North Carolina does, it's in the larger cities that you just talked about. But certainly the intimidation factor toward Black people voting and the tricks that they play on them, as far as like, hey, we're going to serve a warrant. You have to pay off this and that before you make sure your water bill is paid off. Vote on, you know, you're voting on Wednesday instead of Tuesday. And the voter intimidation against Black people in rural areas, it's a real thing. It does happen without question.
Yeah. Well, I think everybody's aware of that. And, you know, You gotta stamp it out. I mean, it's like cockroaches. You see one, you gotta stamp it out, even though you know there's more.
It's one thing for them to have poll watchers here in Greensboro or Charlotte or Raleigh or Winston-Salem or Asheville or Wilmington. It's another thing for them to have poll watchers in Jones County or in Macon County or in Clay County or in Hyde County, places of that nature. So it becomes very difficult. And again, those are not a lot of votes, but how much did Roy Cooper win this state by? I think it was like 1,200, maybe less than that, as far as a statewide race when he took on Pat McCrory. It was very, very close race. Close. I think it was in a point and a half. So these are all things that need to be watched, because Mark Robinson could become the most dangerous governor in America. All due respect to Mr. DeSantis, all due respect to the good folks, Gregory Shape You Down Abbott in Texas. This guy, if he gains political power, would be disastrous for this state.
And of course, Grandma Moses down there in Alabama.
She's tough. She's hardcore. Mark's going to tell her, hold my beer. But so hopefully, if we get this right, if we give our time and our money and talk to people about this stuff, we can knock this shit back. And hopefully not have to deal with it for a long time, although it does seem to creep up its ugly head way too often.
Oh, look, this is right now about defeating Trump, but we're not going to be defeating Trumpism. It's like saying just because we got Osama bin Laden finally after chasing him around for 10 years, that didn't end ISIS. It took a great president like Donald Trump to wipe out ISIS. And what had taken about 4 weeks? Except, of course, that he didn't. He's been lying about it ever since then. And they've been responsible for all kinds of big terrorist attacks, including the one in Russia last week. But you know what he'd say? It's not the same thing, because this is ISIS K, the letter K. It's a different group.
Different K.
not the same ones.
No, so, yeah, if we go 3 for 3 in North Carolina, that's going to do a lot for us. You can breathe somewhat of a sigh of relief. And then, of course, Biden needs to win reelection.
Well, I would find it. Well, I guess this is. I'd find it difficult to think that this time around, because of the atmosphere that will exist within this state, within all the major media markets, and with what will go on the internet and everywhere else that people get their bullshit, whether it's TikTok or whatever, that if there was a 3 for 3 in those major races, that Joe Biden wouldn't also be a recipient of that tide enough to beat Trump here.
That's I think that's the best news, is that we have 3 very good candidates for the Democratic Party in those races. three outstanding ones. Things are set up for us to win if we do the work, if we turn the vote out.
Right. And to quote, I know he's been a hero of yours for a long time, Mitch McConnell, candidate quality matters.
It does. Yeah. Especially at the state.
If that's true.
And I'm telling you, if Jeff Jackson does win as attorney general, that could set us up for 8 years from now. And I'm not, you know, it's hard to look that far ahead, whatever. I think Jeff Jackson has a very high ceiling as far as his future in politics.
And finally, Trump wants to take over. Maybe they'll let him. Let him be the president of NBC. Because he is on the war path. He is demanding, Britt. He's demanding. And when he demands, you know, people listen. He's demanding the firing of Chuck Todd as retribution for the firing of Republican National Committee Chair, former Ronna McDaniel.
Yes.
Chuck Todd, former moderator of Meet the Press for 9 years, blasted NBC for pushing McDaniel onto the show on Sunday and said she was full of shit. She was gaslighting. She was doing her usual character assassination and dealing with the blah, 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 blah. So Trump says, what boss or executive would allow a man or woman, in this case, Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd, which, again, Britt, try to hold in the laughter. It gets funnier every time. Chuck Todd, who was fired for dismal performance coupled with horrendous television ratings. All right. I don't know what Chuck Todd's ratings were, but if you last in that gig for 9 years, they weren't that bad. But okay. Wait,
but the point is that how long did it take the Trump people to toss Ronna McDaniel on the trash heap once they got control of the RNC? Was it 5 seconds? Was it 10 seconds? Suddenly he now loves Ronna McDaniel. Suddenly
that's
now
different.
She's the greatest thing.
That's ever. Different. That's different.
So she's awesome. And by the way, as you know, Chuck Todd personally took Ronna McDaniel into a room and fired her and told her to pack her shit and come. That's what happened in this case. It was completely Chuck Todd's fault.
Trump said, actually, the management should be scolded for hiring sleepy Chuck Todd for Meet the Press. But he calls it Meet the Fake Press.
Oh, that's great. Oh, man.
Hold on to the sides of your chair.
He just kicked your ass, dude. He just destroyed you.
And keeping him on so long despite his poor performing skills, bad ratings, and bias. Trump threatened to revoke NBC's charter, which is not a thing. They don't have a charter.
What is a charter?
He used to say we would take away their license. Of course, again, networks don't have.
I think they have a business license, like in New York, like any business would, like a restaurant or a hot dog cart. You have to buy a business license in Manhattan. Is that what he's talking about?
Wait, this is his reasoning for saying he's going to revoke NBC's charter that doesn't exist, because they reported on that meeting in 2017 when Rex Tillerson, who was Secretary of State, called Trump a moron. All right, so we know that it's a true piece of information. So what gives you the right to shut down the NBC television network? And by the way, there might be some reasons to shut it down, but I think the
exact quote was fucking moron. I believe there was a modifier in front of moron, I believe.
He pledged to investigate NBC and MSNBC parent Comcast if reelected due to, quote, one-sided and vicious coverage and country-threatening treason, country-uplifting treason? Is there
country-affirming treason?
He's really into the verbose, repetitive, pointless modifier, isn't he?
That's like a non-adjective. That's so funny. The country-affirming treason?
It gets better. The sick degenerates over at MSDNC are really running NBC. And there seems nothing that the chairman of Comcast, Brian Roberts, can do about it. Trump scrambling the MSNBC letters to suggest it's aligned with the Democratic National Committee. Watching Chuck Todd, of all people, viciously giving Roberts a piece of his small mind, the head of the company, and then berating him for hiring Rona without his or the other lunatics' approval. Lunatics meaning what? Rachel Maddow, Lawrence O'Donnell, Chris Hayes.
Yeah, that's it.
What's her name in the afternoon at 4 o'clock?
Yeah.
The rest of them.
Jen Psaki.
All of them. It was a step too far. Brian's great father would have fired Chuck Todd and all the rest of these losers on the spot. Perhaps Brian still will. Trump has a thing about that. He has a thing about people who are in these jobs right now, and they might be there because it's a family business or their father. Now, Donald Trump, who started with a $400 million spot, which, by the way, that's even more than you can get from DraftKings to make that first bet.
It is. It's way more.
And then his own kids.
Yeah.
Who only exist because he exists. Well, but he's mad that Brian Roberts, who, by the way, say what you want, he's actually pretty well thought of. And he's run Comcast overall, which includes what, the Universal theme parks and NBC and some other shit. He's actually been pretty successful. And the cable, of course, Comcast. Todd was joined by multiple on-air broadcasters, including Rachel Maddow, Joe Scarborough, and Mika Brzezinski. By the way, it's too bad that they're married and she's unfireable, because she is dreadful. She adds
I'm hearing news from sources that they're not on great terms these days, relationship-wise.
Oh, really? Well, they're not in the same place a lot of the time. That's for sure. You can tell they're not sitting next to each other. That's for sure.
I'm hearing things aren't super great. But I do want to do the deep dive like you were doing. Like, so with each generation, it's kind of lesser than. Is that what we're going for, Don? So your dad was like the guy, and now you're lesser than him, and then Eric and Donald Jr. and Ivanka.
In case you didn't realize, that does not apply to him.
Oh, it gets better every generation for him. It's just other people.
Right.
Every accusation is a projection.
Of course.